podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard it made me cry.
Welcome to the Run, Run, Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and midpackers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favourite pair of shoes and get out there. This isn't Chris, your host. This is Stuart. I'm the guest announcer this week. When you've done listening to the Run, Run, Live podcast, come visit me at my blog, quadrathon.blogspot.com, where you can read about my adventures as I trained for my first 100-mile ultramarathon. Or check out my podcast at quadrathon.podbean.com, where you can listen to me train on the trails in Southern California. So wherever and whenever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in. So, are you ready to have some fun? Come on then, let's go for a run.
Hey Chris, it's Matt, a.k.a. Digger at RunDiggerRun.com. Just got done listening to episode 77. Well done. I like the interview with Tamara, I don't know how you pronounce it. That was great, but I really, really liked your essay on the track. And it was not only well written, you silver pen devil you, but also a very, very good and germane and appropriate training message. So I thought that was great. Just wanted to let you know. Hope you have a great day. Take care.
Hey folks, this is Chris, and welcome to episode 80. It's a nice round number. Today, I am in my wife's car, actually, and I'm plumbing new depths in the poor quality arena here of the audio. Sounds like either a wheel bearing or a ball joint to me, but I got a quarter mile from my house with all my bike stuff to head off to my Ultra, and my truck overheated. So I was all set to crow about how my truck passed the state inspection without anybody blinking an eye, and I got another 12 months out of it, but it overheated. So it's in the yard now leaking fluid. I had to steal my wife's Jeep Cherokee, which has 150,000 miles on it. It's a last leg, so. Bicycle, bicycle, I want to ride my bicycle, I want to ride it every day. Apologies to Freddie Mercury.
The most money, the most shows, the most honey. It's so funny how you hate my f***ing guts, but at the same time love me. From the blinking to the gold to the low rider bike, I always get you hated, but you know that you like. What you see is what you get, nothing more, nothing less. I'm killing, smoking chronic while you're choking on stress. Talking to the air, let me feel you.
Alright, so tell me about the trip down here.
The trip down here?
Yeah.
The trip down here started at the Antelos at 5 o'clock with coffees with the inside voices and excelled right along to little TNA
in the
van.
In the Enterprise panel van.
In the Enterprise rent-a-car panel van with the couch in the back.
The couch is key.
Couch is key, very comfy.
We should pull the couch out tonight.
Put our feet up on the cooler.
I don't know.
Tonight,
right?
And we're
now, but there might be mosquitoes.
Very comfortable ride.
We should pull the couch out now because we won't want to do it.
Dan didn't let me drive. Everybody got to drive, but I didn't get to drive.
But Dan had to stop and pee a lot.
Dan was peeing a lot. He said it was the coffee, but I think he has a going problem. I don't know if it's a growing problem or a going problem.
I have prostate cancer.
Oh yeah. Okay, Dan.
I think Dan's gonna go cuddle with his expensive bike.
Mamacito. Yep.
Well, if anybody takes the van.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it every day. Bicycle. Bicycle.
We're just going to bed. You really don't have to do that. Want to get the couch out?
I never sing, no, never. I only shout. We're coming clean forever. Without a doubt. Like I'm a...
All right, this is Chris. Going off to sleep here. Had a bit of a problem. My front brake fell off on my practice ride today. Doesn't look too bad, though. I mean, we rode like a 3-mile hill. Not too bad. And it's all roads, you know, dirt roads and stuff, so I don't know. We'll see. I think I got it. We'll see if I can find a new brake in the morning. Otherwise, I'm riding without a front brake. Who needs it? Hey, this is Chris, and it's like Woodstock here. We're in this park. It's misty. It's like a low fog. Sun's just coming up, about 6:15. Covered with tents and cars and bikes and people. The tune's going on. You know, you get different kinds of people. You get your people who hang out and look scared and getting their shit together and they're quiet. And you get people who are kind of up and at 'em like me. And I got my walking over to the podium. I'm going to see if I can find my brakes. See if somebody brought some brakes for me. I got rear brakes. I'm riding anyhow, even if I can't get front brakes. But yeah, it's like Woodstock here. I'm going to go off in about 1:15. Got to get my shit together. I already got my coffee in me. Bagel. It's not so hard. It's good stuff.
What do you got?
Le Toro Rouge.
The Red Bull.
The Red Bull. Red Bull and an oatmeal cookie with raisins.
You're going to regret that oatmeal cookie. About 50 miles in.
How much?
Crash.
This is my third one.
Oatmeal's got a high viscosity. Look at this. It's like Woodstock. Where's Grace Slick?
And now for our featured interview.
Harmon, are you there?
Yes.
Hello.
I thank you so much for making this thing happen.
Well, you know, like I said, I have my personal feelings. For me, since this is a show about running, for me, running is a form of meditation for me.
Yes,
and I found it to be the key that unlocks my personal, you know, connection between mind and spirit and body in my own way. So when I saw that you were talking about some of those topics, I figured we'd get you on the phone. So this is Harmon Hathaway, president of the American Yoga Foundation.
Yes.
And your website is alignment.org, I believe?
Yes.
And you're 38-something on Twitter. What's your handle? 38 Harmony.
Yes.
The number 3, the number 8, Harmony. And so we hooked up on Twitter. I love Twitter.
I do, too. I'm still kind of internalizing it. It's a wonderful medium.
It is. It's an interesting to meet new people. And I try to connect other people together, too. Because I figure the greater the community, the greater, more there is for everybody.
Yes.
I have the freedom not to be selling anything, so it's easier.
Me too, actually.
So
other than a book.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So
which
tell
is
us
really good news.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
What I do is I work with breathing and alignment. When I work with people, it's pretty direct. The results are fairly direct because alignment of the structure is something that, given direction, will start to show up. And when I work with releasing people or getting them to release their body, alignment shows up. So alignment is really not a concept that's placed on the body. It's a result of releasing the body. and the body naturally releases towards alignment.
Okay. So you were telling me before that when I say you're a yoga instructor, that doesn't mean anything because yoga is like a generic term?
Well, yes. There are hundreds of yogas, for one. And yoga basically means unification. If, for instance, a runner were to hit into or feel, you might say, in a zone where everything just is one,
mm-hmm.
they're experiencing that unification. And so they might call their running a yoga.
Might, yeah, if you do it right.
Well, that's your subject.
Right, exactly. That's what I always say to people when they say, I can't run, it hurts. You know,
uh-huh.
I hate it. I say, well, you're just doing it wrong.
Uh-huh.
So what's some of the topics here that we were talking about? You talk about the connection between the mind, the spirit, and the body. What is that? And how do I know if these things are out of balance in me?
I start with the body and how you feel. When I'm working with somebody, I'm dealing with the body or what's obvious, okay?
Yeah.
But, and then in their language, I can see, and the way they handle instruction, I can see some things are out of, if they are out, in the mind. And then spirit's a whole other subject, and that's, first, I have to deal with the body problems and get those corrected, you see.
Now, is that different than the approach some people would take that would say you deal with the sort of the mental problems first?
Well, it is. And there's tons of information on that. But as far as structure of the body, I'm almost challenged to say that you need to deal with a physical problem directly. And that I find that when you look at, and my eye is very keen, I can see what's going on with the structure. And I just give an instruction, and it starts to dissipate. For instance, I wrote about standing, and I got a response back from somebody who read it that a problem that they've been plagued with for 4 or 5 years all of a sudden was gone, which they didn't expect. You know, they were just trying this standing.
Right.
So the accuracy of the information can produce the result. A lot of the other work is really dealing with mind and spirit. Okay.
I guess the assumption would be that a lot of the physical manifestations of pain or misalignment are driven by some root mental or spiritual ill, right?
I basically, it's a lack of, in other words, it's almost a no-blame situation.
Yeah,
okay. We're brought up, the ignorance in the culture is kind of hits at the body, and people withdraw, you might say, or they have hesitations, all right? And those hesitations, 30 years later, become physical problems, or the lack of motion become physical problems, and or the collapse of the structure.
So, and then that can then drive spiritual and mental problems?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because they don't feel good, and then the other thing, of course, is the ignorance conditioning factors.
When somebody comes to see you, what are the type of symptoms that they have that you will address?
Well, generally, people will come to me when they're hurting, okay? Basically start with the same notions of alignment and have them stand in it in alignment and then lay down and breathe, and et cetera. If it's a severe problem, I might even do hands-on work in the direction of alignment, and the body responds dramatically. For instance, if a person has bursitis, I've taken that off the body in 5 to 10 minutes just by massaging in the direction of alignment.
I think if I remember correctly from traditional practices, the alignment has to do with releasing the body's own energy, which is trapped somewhere, the chi, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
So you're saying if I have bursitis, which is an inflammation of the bursa, Right. There's something you can do to align something physically in my body that will...
Well, generally the problem is the result of closing in or turning the structure of the body inwardly, okay? And if you just, for instance, just opened the palms of the hand and moved in backward circles with your arm, you would be going counter to closing. And if you notice, when people stand, their palms are facing backward. Mm-hmm. So that means the shoulder is also rotated inwardly. And that eventually shows up as a problem.
Okay.
You see, the body, it's amazing what the body can handle. But at some point, it's going to get inflamed.
Okay. So when you talk about alignment, you're talking about sitting, standing, and laying down. Describe to us the difference between a misaligned person and an aligned person, you know, either standing or sitting.
Well, let's start with standing. Standing has two elements to it. One is the outside of the feet and relaxed knees, so that the arch is an arch rather than the foot being pronated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
And, I mean, I've seen people who complain about knee problems, and I just put them in this position, and all of a sudden, I'm talking 5 minutes, and they're saying, wow, that feels better. And or it's not there. It's, in other words, the problems are generally a result of violating the structural alignment of the natural structural alignment of the body.
Okay. No, I perfectly understand. So if someone's pronating or exonating, rolling the foot in, rolling the foot out, that's going to cause knee problems. It's going to cause hip problems.
Right.
And typically
back problems.
Yeah, and typically what podiatrists will do. Yeah, and back problems as well. What podiatrists will do is they'll put something in the shoe or give you corrective shoes to sort of mechanically force you back.
That I call that a crutch.
Yeah, and
rather than you just walking on the outside of the foot and allowing the arch to be there, and even, you know, when I say compounding, I've used that word with you.
Mm-hmm.
When you run and you hit on the towards the outside of the foot. And have an arch, you're compounding alignment.
But, no, that's very important. Right now, there's a lot of buzz around barefoot running and natural running and that sort of thing. And it sounds like almost the same thing, which people say, well, once I learned how to run, I could run nonstop for, you know, 100 miles because, in your vernacular, I'm compounding the alignment as opposed to compounding the problem.
Right.
So you're hitting a straight nail as opposed to a crooked nail.
Yes. And it's, in other words, there is a body dynamic inherent in the body that's alignment. And it's just a matter of uncovering that. And it's, as far as I can tell, the information around talks about alignment, but actually misses the exact, the simple thing of an arch. Just having an arch. And if you're treating flat feet, which I've treated over the years, it's simple. People can take it off, you see, by just applying alignment principles.
Okay, so you talk a lot about breathing to open up and align. Tell me how my breathing is going to allow me to open up and align. Because, you know, as runners, one of the things we do a lot is we do a lot of deep breathing, right? Because we're forced to. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why, you know, running gives you such positive feedback is that breathing is part of it. So talk to me a little bit about my favorite new word, diaphragmatic breathing.
Okay, if you want to do diaphragmatic breathing, get an opera coach. I'm serious, you know, because it's at least you'll learn to sing.
Right.
In terms of breathing, and what is full breathing, again, what I've found is that through expansive breathing, which also raises the rib cage off the hip, which is more, it's not the way to breathe, but it's a way of using breath. You are engaging the diaphragm. As you maintain it as a discipline, you'll find that all the muscles between the upper torso and the lower torso actually are in a stretch. So when you're finished, you'll actually feel longer. And if you did it for 15-20 minutes, of just full, very full breathing, so that it feels like the shoulders are even coming up towards the ears, but not, but gentle.
Right.
And you maintain that. When you're finished, you're going to feel longer because you've stretched those muscles for that period of time, you see?
Right.
So it's very immediate, let me put it that way, and it's very obvious to the individual doing it. And I like to just, when I instruct, it's a very simple instruction, and then the body starts to play with it or, you know, understand it. Because when you introduce, or I find when I introduce alignment, the body's saying, oh, boy, this feels great.
Yeah. All right.
Or
so
it recognizes the accuracy, let me put it that way.
Right, because it's what you're saying is it's a natural base state. And
the
crumpled, folded up positioning we normally have is an aberration of our natural state.
Yes.
So I'm sitting at my desk right now.
Okay.
In front of my computer. Run me through an exercise. What am I going to do?
Okay. Well, first, you're going to sit towards the back of the chair with your feet on the floor and feel the sitting bones, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Rock on your sitting bones, like almost like a baby or a child. You know, rock back and forth. Can you feel your sitting bones?
Yeah.
Okay. So
of course,
then,
I got a lot of meat back there, so I'm not sure I'm feeling the bones.
But you can feel them, yes.
Yeah.
And then feel the arch in your foot so that your weight in the foot and the ground is more towards the outside.
Okay.
Then you take a deep breath up that's gentle, but at the same time, it's a gentle strength. In other words, it's soft, but it's full.
So something like a 3 or 4 count breath in?
Yeah, but once you focus on the breath and start lifting, don't have any idea of how full it can get. You'll find out how full it can get.
And you want to put your hands just flat on the table, or?
Oh no, you can put one hand right by the diaphragm, or at the upper stomach wall, and feel it with your hand. And this, if you maintain that for 5 minutes, it will be rejuvenating.
Yeah, I think I'd fall asleep.
Okay, you might. The body will do what it needs to do.
And that's rejuvenating in itself.
Yes.
So, and I can repeat my trigger phrase, too. I can say, om, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And in fact, if you say out loud the word home, you actually have to correct the breathing situation. So a little exercise of just walking around and singing home, you know, and just singing it, you'll be working with your breath. And the breath comes up and out to create the sound, which is, you know, like the opera teacher would teach.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. And then it becomes a little bit of a mantra that you can associate the position with.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you take that and apply it to running.
Oh, we do that. Yeah, we have our mantras.
Oh, okay. I mean the breathing that we just looked at.
Oh, yeah. So that was one of my other questions. Is if I'm an athlete, right, and I think I'm in pretty good shape, not me, but let's talk about somebody else who thinks they're in pretty good shape.
Right.
You know, how is this going to make me better, or how is this going to make me healthier, happier?
Well, that they will find out. They're in a way just introducing breath, a fuller breath, all right, getting in touch with possibly their structural alignment. And again, they'll, you know, what I've observed is they will physically feel better. Okay?
And so you're saying be mindful of your breathing while you're running, for instance.
Yes. Mindfulness is something we could, let's say it's informal mindfulness, okay, running.
Mm-hmm.
And your attention is on the breath and the air passing the body and the scenery, etc. It's all, the attention is multifaceted in this sense.
Right.
But you see, you're aware of everything, including the breath and the body running. And if a pain comes up, you're aware of that also. So that is a mindful disposition. A runner may be mindful without knowing that the term is also used in meditative practices.
Yeah, but I mean it almost meditatively, because I found that I can get into a rhythm and almost feel my heart beating, be very mindful of my heart beating and my blood moving
okay.
and my breathing. You know,
right.
It's almost a holistic feeling where
and,
I'm...
And that
I feel very much the driver of those circulatory systems at that point.
Right, and that would be like a state, different states of mind or different states of consciousness, which are achieved also in meditation practices, in mindfulness practice.
Okay, so...
So, it in other words, what I've listened to some talks that Wilbur has had with a well-known athlete, and they talked about the zone, getting in the zone, and getting into different states or higher states of mind.
Right.
The thing is that many people get into those states, and they don't even know that these are, you know, these are very fortunate events.
Right. Not every time.
Yeah.
But it is something you can practice. So
and the actual mindful, the more you focus, breath is used as a focal point for mindfulness.
Right.
And the more you just focus on the breath and let thoughts go, the more centered you're going to be. And then, of course, if you have an awareness of the feet, you know, and the arch, etc., the body is really quite grounded, and you're really right there located, right on the spot, very immediate.
Okay.
So
you know, different people have different pains. You know, how do you focus your body to relieve, you know, a specific pain that you're having?
One of the things that you need to do is try to locate the where that pain is in the body.
Yeah.
And if it's in the upper body, you can kind of touch it with breath. You know, put your finger on it, etc., like a stitch.
Yeah.
Just put your finger on the stitch and start breathing under on inside to that point and just maybe touch it easily, and it might pass. The same with, let's say, lower body pains. Focusing your attention on the pain, it might start to dissolve rather than thinking that, oh, no, this can't happen.
Right.
This is going to ruin my, you know, all that type of stuff is counterproductive.
Right.
So you just focus on the pain, and what happens is the more you look at it, view it, the more possibility of it going away.
Yeah, and I found that especially on very, very long outings.
Right.
You tend to have pains come and go, and if
right.
if you're a bit detached from it, and you go,
yes.
okay, so that hurts,
yes.
it eventually cycles through.
Right. I want to go back to sitting, by the way, because so
okay.
many people do that. It's okay to sit in any position if you feel inclined to, if you have the reference point of what is alignment. Because you, in any position on a chair, you can breathe, you can feel the breath moving the body. It's when you go dormant that you're kind of slowly diminishing or shrinking. What we're working with in terms of breath and the body is a universal principle of expansion and contraction.
So, you know, when my wife yells at my kids, don't slouch, she's being a yoga master.
Well, yes, but now she just needs to give them the tools. That's what's absent, as far as I can tell.
Right.
From it are the simple tools. And
right.
in fact, with children, if you're aligned and if you're working with your breath, they'll pick it up.
Yeah, they'll mimic you.
Yes, they will. And
right.
I've had classes, you know, large classes where the children just did what everybody else did. They do it as a play.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Kids play. So
yeah.
we're running out of time here, Harmon.
Okay.
So tell me about your book and your website and any other links you want to share with us.
Okay. Well, the book is very straightforward. I just wanted to codify the information that I understand with that book, and it can be bought by going to alignment.org, and it's on the front page, and you can click there and order it.
All right. So what would, you know, for your, you know, closing thoughts, what would be the, if you could tell people one or two or three things that they should do today, do right now, what would it be?
Breathe more and trust the body to enjoy it, explore with the breath, rather than have any warnings. I'm not into warning. You're the explorer. Start breathing.
What's an example of a warning?
Oh, watch out for this style of breathing, and don't do it this way, and you'll hyperventilate, et cetera, et cetera.
Just experiment and let your body find its natural
place. Yes, just be gentle.
All right. Well, I'm going to try some of that,
good.
Expanded breathing, see what that does for me.
And I'll speak to you again.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Really.
We'll stay in touch.
This is beautiful.
All right. Okay. Great. Have a great night.
You too.
Yep. Bye.
Bye now.
Well, this is interesting. This is Chris at the 40-mile mark. And I'm done. I'm done because my bike broke. I broke a wheel. I cracked a rim coming down this latest descent. And I was way ahead of schedule. I was into this 40-mile exchange zone at about just over 3 hours. And they're like, nope, can't be fixed. So that's it. I'm done. I feel great. My legs are fine. So far, it's been nothing bad. A couple of little technical points, and the rest of it's just a lot of long uphill pulls, auto climbs, and I think there's more of the same coming. So, I don't know, pissed me off, but what can you do? You know, I think that's something I really don't like about this sport, is the reliance on mechanics. So, you know, you see these fat guys out here with these expensive bikes, they're going to beat me. Because you know, it's one thing I guess I learned here is that you can't ride a shitbox and expect to finish. But the downhills were, I broke it on one of the downhills because you get these like 100 mile an hour freefall downhills with mud and rocks, just bone shattering. Pretty cool, like a something you'd have to stand in line and buy tickets for, you know. So anyhow, I'm done. Out.
Hey, this is Chris, and I'm sitting in the van. Sorry about the audio quality. I'm on the auxiliary mic sitting in the van. The first riders just came across having me some chocolate milk and some cookies. Not that I deserve them, but having them anyhow. And sort of feel like I bought the ticket and didn't get to see the show here. But the details are I was flying. I was into that second aid station at just over 3 hours, well on track to get this thing done, and I noticed my back wheel was making some noise. I didn't know what it was. I pulled over, and a guy looked down and said, yep, you got a split rim. So my rim actually broke, like I hit something, and they couldn't fix it, and nobody had a bike for me, so that's it. Game over. Got a ride back here. Now I got to eat cookies and watch the winners come in. About 2 o'clock. First winner came in just before 2. So we'll see what we can do. Alright. Alright, well, in the immortal words of Forrest Gump, I'm tired. I think I'm going to go home now. I'm not sure how I feel about this. I got to wait till I get some emotional separation. We can talk about it some more, but for now I'm just going to wrap it up. You know, you think you get a funk after you complete an event successfully. Wait till you DNF. Then you get a whole nother set of NWA, as it were. So I'm going to leave you with some blues, because, you know, it's appropriate. And started this one off a little high. We're ending a little low. And the single speeds just came in. It's just now about 3:31. We started at 7. The single speeds just came in. That means these guys ride this whole thing in one gear. And so we'll leave you with bluesman Thomas Malafarina. And the song is called Can't Get Used to It. Got it? Can't get used to it. Don't get used to it. And I'll see you out there. Thank you.
matter how hard I try. I can't get used to missing you, baby. I hate this being all alone. I hate this being all alone. I can't stand it. I just can't stand walking around this big old empty home. I hate this big old empty home. All right, Bob, give me some harm.
Thanks for listening to the Run, Run, Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show, or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line, and I will see you out there.
Run, Run, Live, the podcast for all your running needs.